Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness with purity of purpose. We realize that many may be offended by the encouragement to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church, but it is our hope that many will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18. Therefore, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We bring this to you, for we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to discuss some verses found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. I'll read the first five verses. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoils shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst of it toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mount, for the valley of the mount shall reach unto Azal. Yes, you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you." The scriptures I've just read are fairly familiar with most people, or at least parts of them are. Most of you are probably aware of what the day of the Lord is. It's a time of the last days in which God rises up to restore the kingdom of heaven on earth and to destroy wickedness. Verse 2 said that he would gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And verse 3 says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." We recognize that as there is a significant assault against Jerusalem, we will see the evidence of the Lord rising up directly following it. In fact, the next verse of Zechariah, verse 4, begins to explain what takes place when the Lord rises up in judgment. When the all-out assault against Jerusalem takes place, Zechariah 14:4 tells us that at that time the Lord's feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives shall split into two parts. This is the important part of today's message. You will be unable to understand the rest of my message today if you don't recognize the sequence of events that take place directly after the major assault against Jerusalem. Once again, I want you to recognize that verse 3 refers to the major assault against Jerusalem, and that verse 4 explains that the Lord's feet will then stand on the Mount of Olives. This is represented in verse 3 as the Lord fighting against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, what I would like you to notice is that the Lord stands on the Mount of Olives. And what I would like to specifically point out to you today is that this event of the Lord standing on the Mount of Olives takes place prior to his coming in the clouds of heaven. This event takes place before the first resurrection. And the reason I say this is because of verse 5, which tells us what God's children will do at that time. Verse 5 tells us that we will flee to the valley of the mountains. I want you to think about this. think about what it means if we are in a state of fleeing to the valley of the mountains. Verse 5 says that we will flee to the valley of the mountains as we fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Now, there are several things to think about here. One thing to realize is that you can't actually flee from an earthquake. However, you can flee from danger when the earth is being shaken by God. But most importantly, I would like you to recognize that we will never flee from anything after the Lord comes and we meet him in the air. When Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of heaven and we are caught up to meet him in the air, there will never be any reason to flee from anything. Therefore, if God's children must flee, then they will be fleeing from a danger which occurs before Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven. Sometimes people are confused by the statement that says our Lord will stand on the Mount of Olives. But because the Bible clearly states that we shall rise to meet the Lord in the air, we know that the Lord's feet will not actually touch the Mount of Olives prior to his coming in the clouds of heaven. Jesus even warns us against false teachers who will try to tell us that the Lord has appeared here or there in the earth. In Matthew 24, verses 24 through 27, it says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so much that, if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' do not go forth. 'Behold, he is in the secret chambers,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so will also the coming of the Son of Man be." This is a clear warning against believing someone who tells us that Jesus is standing on the earth, whether it is the desert, the secret chambers, or, for that matter, the Mount of Olives. I would not be at all surprised if someday someone tries to tell Christians that Jesus is actually standing on the Mount of Olives. Remember what verse 5 of Zechariah 14 tells us, that after the Lord stands on the Mount of Olives and it cleaves in the middle, the children of God will flee. And also remember what I just said a minute ago, we will never have to flee from anything once Jesus actually comes, for we will rise to meet him in the air, and we will never have to flee from anything. However, because verse 5 explicitly tells us that the children of God will flee when his feet touches the Mount of Olives, then we can also realize that the touching of the Mount of Olives and its dividing into two mountains is a symbolic event which will usher in the end time events when the Lord stands up to deliver his people. The place of refuge we will flee to, this valley of the mountains, is the place where Christians will spiritually flee to in preparation for our Lord's soon return in the clouds of heaven. What we have here then is that the Lord symbolically stands upon the Mount of Olives, causing it to divide into two portions, the one half of it moving to the north and the other half of it moving to the south. The division causes a valley between the two halves of the mountain. This is the valley of the mountains to which the children of God will flee. When the two halves of the Mount of Olives separate and move away from each other toward the north and toward the south, a very great valley will be created between them, which extends from east to west. Take a moment here and think about this. If you can picture it in your mind, visualize the city of Jerusalem. Now try to envision Jerusalem's eastern gate, which of course faces east, and which also faces the Mount of Olives. If you were to exit from the eastern wall of the city of Jerusalem, you would go downhill and cross what is called the Kidron Valley. This small valley separates the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. It was on this Mount of Olives that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and was arrested prior to his trial and crucifixion. However, there was also another significant event that is important concerning the Mount of Olives. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus ascended into heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father. On the day he ascended into heaven, he led his disciples out of the city of Jerusalem, across the small Kidron Valley, and up the slopes of the Mount of Olives. He continued to cross over the Mount of Olives until coming to the village of Bethany, the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The village of Bethany was situated on the opposite side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. Now, take your time and try to envision this concept. I know it's not easy, but think about what path Jesus took on this last day on earth. I'll go over it again. He took his disciples with him and left the city of Jerusalem. He went out of Jerusalem, departing through one of the gates in the eastern wall of the city, which faced the Kidron Valley and the Mount of Olives, and which also faced the village of Bethany behind that. He traveled across the Kidron Valley, over the Mount of Olives, until he arrived at the village of Bethany. At that precise location, he rose into the air, ascending into heaven. And just to instill this in your mind, let's read Luke 24, verses 50 and 51. It says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Now notice what the heavenly being said to the disciples after Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven, and they were still looking upward. We read this in Acts 1, 9 through 11. It says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked firmly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.'" I'd like to draw your attention specifically to what the two men in white apparel said. In verse 11, they said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So think about it. These two men in heavenly apparel said that Jesus would return in the same manner as they saw him go into heaven. We know this is true, and we know that Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and that at this time the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that we who are alive and remain on the earth at that time will rise up along with the resurrected dead to meet the Lord in the air. Now I would like you to consider something else. In taking a close look at where Jesus was at the time of his ascension into heaven, consider the symbolic indications of Jesus' physical ascension. It was from this point of the village of Bethany that the Mount of Olives would be divided. From the very point of Christ's ascension, which was the village of Bethany on the far eastern side of the Mount of Olives, this mountain would be divided, half of it moving toward the north and half of it moving toward the south. A very great valley between these two mountain ranges would then be established, which would reach all the way to the gate of Jerusalem. It's in this great valley between the two halves of the Mount of Olives, where we will be waiting for Jesus' return. No, not a physical location, but a spiritual location. The actual physical uniting with Christ is when we rise to meet him in the air when he comes in the clouds of heaven. But just prior to his coming in the clouds of heaven, he will symbolically stand upon the Mount of Olives, and this Mount of Olives will symbolically cleave in the midst and will symbolically represent the Valley of Judgment, where God will judge the righteous and wicked of the earth. Please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. Most importantly, you should recognize that Jesus cannot possibly physically touch the earth prior to his second coming in the clouds of heaven. The Bible clearly warns us against people who will claim that Jesus has come to our earth prior to his second coming in the clouds. And most importantly, you should recognize that the fleeing that will be required by God's people is in preparation for the soon return of our Lord. As an example of this symbolic event, I would like to refer you to the parable of the 10 virgins. Notice that in the parable of the 10 virgins, they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. This was not an actual physical event, but a spiritual representation, an allegory, which shows that God's people need to prepare for his soon coming. The reference to our Lord standing on the Mount of Olives and the Mount of Olives splitting into two mountains and the formation of the great valley stretching from the backside of the Mount of Olives to the eastern gate of Jerusalem is an allegory which gives us insight into the spiritual movement which Christians will experience in preparation for the imminent return of Jesus Christ in these last days. Now, if you're still with me, I'll give you one more scripture to consider in comparison to what I've just said. The scripture is found in Matthew 24, verses 14 to 22. It reads, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, nor let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto those who are with child, and to those who nurse children in those days. But pray that your flight is not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Notice that the Bible says the gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Then the scripture gives a clear warning that when we see the abomination of desolation, that we should flee to the mountains. The scripture then clarifies the statement, showing that it has spiritual implications by adding the words in parentheses, which says, "Whoever reads, let him understand." This parenthetical statement shows us that the understanding of this warning is only comprehended with spiritual insight. It is not to be taken at face value as a physical situation, but is to be seen through spiritual eyes. The abomination of desolation is, generally speaking, Satan. The particular form of Satan it is referring to needs further interpretation, But it is clear that God's people must flee when they see this abomination of desolation. And the place it tells God's people to flee to is to the mountains. Most Bible teachers claim that the residents of the city of Jerusalem will have to flee to the mountains outside of Jerusalem to be safe from invading nations. If you want to believe this, feel free. However, the spiritual implication for this flight is that Christians will finally recognize this abomination of desolation and that it is Satan who is occupying the place of God in the churches and showing himself as if he is God. The term abomination of desolation means extreme wickedness which ultimately brings destruction. Therefore, the Bible is warning us that when we see this abomination of desolation, we should separate ourselves in every way possible from it, and that we should flee from its wickedness to that great spiritual valley, which is symbolically described in Zechariah as the Valley of the Mountains. Let me just put this in plain, simple terms. What the Bible has done is to explain that in the end time days, the Lord will rise up with healing in his wings. He will reveal to his people the extreme deception that has overcome the children of God. When they recognize the wickedness that is abominable and realize that this wickedness will ultimately destroy them, their only recourse is to flee from it in a spiritual sense in order to spiritually prepare themselves for the Lord's coming. This is what Christians will do in the last days. When they recognize how evil has actually penetrated the church, and they recognize that Satan has corrupted our biblical truth to the point that Christians do not understand what it really means to be separate and to come out from among the people of the world and be holy, Christians will be forced to make a decision. Just as the 10 virgins were waiting for the bridegroom, we will also separate ourselves from the world and begin to worship God in truth and in spirit, in accordance with the scriptures, instead of in accordance with man's doctrine. To flee to the Valley of the Mountains means to separate yourself from the evilness of couch potato Christianity. Just as the children of Israel constantly fluctuated from serving God to serving idols, Christians have also fluctuated from serving God to serving idols. God is calling his people back to him and calling them to be a peculiar people, separating themselves from that which is idolatry. Notice that Colossians 3:5 tells us that covetousness is idolatry. Yet, churches of the world continue to steer people away from the Word of God and create doctrines of men which do not line up with Scripture. When the Bible says that women should not adorn themselves with gold or silver, but the church says that it is all right to do so because this is a different day and age, then this establishes a clear example of Satan instituting himself into the church. When 1 John 2:15 tells us not to love the world, nor the things in the world, yet the church freely approves of men saturating their lives with the big boy toys of this world, this is the same as Satan instituting himself in the church. Men and women have lost the ability to recognize evil, just as the children of Israel had lost the ability to recognize evil prior to the event of Mount Carmel when Elijah called fire down from heaven. It's time for the children of God to recognize the mystery of iniquity which sits in the temple of God and showing himself that he is God. It's time that the church, the children of God, flee from this wickedness into that spiritual place prepared for God's people when they are preparing themselves to meet the Lord. Not only do we Christians of today need the oil in our lamps, just as the 10 virgins needed the oil, but we also need to be willing to separate ourselves from the lusts of the world, and we need to flee into the valley of the mountains in preparation for our Lord's return. In short, it is time for the church to become holy. The term holiness means a setting apart for the work and purpose of God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12:14 that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. This means that unless you come out from among the world's social system and become separate for the purpose of God, you are not holy, and therefore you will not see God. In these last days, our Lord's feet shall touch the Mount of Olives, and this obstruction which stands in the way of our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem through the eastern gate shall be cleaved in the midst and shall remove toward the north and the south, making a very great plain, a great valley between these two mounts. And as the Lord makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we who have run to meet him, separating ourselves from the wickedness of this world, will also enter in through the gates of the city with our Lord. Let me leave you with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18 says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." It is this simple directive with which God calls his people. Just come out from among them and be separate. Just be a vessel separated unto me for my purpose. Now, let me ask you, is that so hard to understand?
You have been listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and thank you for being with us. If you would like a copy of today's message, please contact us and ask for message number 70, He Shall Stand on the Mount of Olives. We have available CDs and written transcripts of all of our messages. We also have available a study on Revelation 13 entitled Image of the Beast. This is a study of over 4 hours of Bible explanation with 4 CDs and a 50-page written transcript. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Our email address is preparationministries@gmail.com. Preparation Ministries is all one word. The email address again is preparationministries@gmail.com. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivette, Michigan 49076. The address again is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivette, Michigan 49076. Preparation Ministries has open Bible study on Friday or Saturday night, and also a prepared Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information, comments, and questions, please contact us. To speak with Brother Smith, call him at 269-763-2114. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donations. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's Word is freely given. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.